Hey everyone, it's Naomi Wolf here, and I'm absolutely delighted to be joined once again by the illustrious Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Welcome, Mr. Kennedy.
Thank you very much, Naomi.
So you've told me I can call you Bobby, so I'm going to call you Bobby, if I may.
Please.
Thank you. And the reason I reached out to you this morning especially is that I was shocked to be told by one of your colleagues that a state senator in my home state of New York has actually made a public announcement in a press release that I read, as if he's proud of it, alerting the world to the fact that he'd reached out to Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, to get you deplatformed for medical misinformation. Would you tell us about that, please?
Well, I don't know much more about it than you do. I read the senator's name is Brad Holyman, and he's a senator from Lower Manhattan. And he's been very active for many years on the vaccine issue and on getting, you know, on getting rid of vaccine exemptions for the MMR vaccine and the other vaccines in New York State. He sent a letter to Twitter accusing me and also my organization, the Children's Health Defense, of passing misinformation on Twitter. He did not specify exactly what the misinformation was. And as you know, we put at Children's Health Defense, we do not post misinformation. In fact, we fact check the movement. So if we see misinformation from people who are trying to support safe vaccines, we alert them. We have on our board, we have on our advisory board, we have a Nobel Prize laureate, Luc Montagnier, who discovered the HIV virus and won the Nobel Prize in 1983. We have two former chiefs of the National Toxicity Program. We have dozens of PhDs and scientists and doctors, and they would not tolerate if we were passing on misinformation. So we fact check everything that we do, all of our public statements rigorously. We cite and source all of them to peer-reviewed publications or to government databases. And, you know, I would challenge Senator Holyman, sorry about that, to come up to a point, and we've sent him a letter challenging him to tell us where we got the facts wrong. As you know, the term vaccine misinformation has nothing to do with the accuracy. It has to do with it's a euphemism for any statement that departs from government orthodoxies or government proclamations, whether it's accurate or not. And so when they say vaccine misinformation, it just means that we are questioning things that they don't want people to question. A.J. Rollins has this famous quote about that people don't tear out a man's tongue because they're frightened that he's going to tell a lie. They tear out his tongue because they're frightened that he's going to tell the truth. And, you know, I think that's what it's pretty clear that that's what we're dealing with here. I think as you and I, you know, understand, there's just an irony here that's almost comical and really shocking that a Democratic elected official would be calling on one of these, you know, these internet titans were really a threat to democracy. And I think Dorsey is the best of all of them because he's at least making noises about, you know, I don't want to be a censor. And he's the least enthusiastic, but they're all, you know, their business model, their corporations, they're serving their shareholders. And they're relying on government contracts and they're relying on these contracts with large corporations. And so there's always this huge danger that these companies that now control the public square, they control all speech in America, will be hijacked for corporate purposes. And for a Democrat to be actually calling on them to censor information that criticizes a pharmaceutical product and a pharmaceutical product that is zero liability. These are the companies that brought us the opioid epidemic, that gave us Vioxx, that you know, that it just kill people wantonly for profit and show that again and again and again that they're corrupt and that they're venal and that they're craven and mendacious and murderous. Yeah. And for him to be calling on, you know, an internet titan who now controls free speech in our country to censor information about a product made by one of those companies or all of those companies is really, it's crazy that the Democrats have gone this far. And, you know, by the way, this is exactly what the First Amendment was put in the Constitution to prevent, which is government officials telling private publishers to censor criticisms of government policies. That's why we wrote the First Amendment. And in the Constitution, there is no, there's no exception. There's no pandemic exception. There's right. no place, you know, there. And by the way, Washington was very aware and the founders were very, very much aware of pandemics and their danger because there was a smallpox pandemic that debilitated, particularly the troops in Maine that were, you know, when we were fighting for Ticonderoga and Saratoga and Montreal, that there was the Northern Army, which is the Army of New England, essentially, were debilitated by smallpox epidemic. So they knew about it. And they knew that it posed a danger and a crisis, a potential crisis, but they still didn't put an exception in the Constitution for pandemics. There is no exception.
Well, let me
the Constitution was written to protect inconvenient speech, unpopular speech, speech that nobody wants you to talk about. It was not put there to protect popular speech. You know, there's a great movie about Thomas More, and there's dialogue in there that actually came from real life. But my favorite line from that movie is a line when he's talking, Thomas More, who was essentially the Attorney General of England during the reign of King Henry VIII. He was the Chancellor, which is essentially the, you know, he was both the treasurer and the attorney general. And he said that he was having an argument with his son-in-law, whose name was Roper. And Roper said to him, you know, he said, you know, we have to, the laws protect certain action. It was unpopular and you have to just obey the law. And he said, and Roper said to him, so would you give the devil the protection of the laws? Are you giving the devil the protection of the laws? And Thomas More said, you have to do that. And, you know, you can't cut a swath through the law to get at the devil. And Roper said to him, well, if it was up to me, I'd cut down all the laws to get at the devil. And Thomas More says to him, and once all the laws were cut down and the land was flat, what will you do when the devil turns on you? Where will you hide? And that, you know, is a question that I would pose to Senator Holyman.
Yeah.
Is what, you know, what, it, you know, there's a lot of environmentalists who are saying it's okay to censor this information about vaccine information. Don't they know that the next information that is going to get censored is information that's critical of the oil companies?
They're saying,
and the coal companies. What?
I'm sorry, there are environmentalists saying it's okay to censor information about vaccines?
Yeah, I mean, the whole kind of liberal infrastructure is endorsing it. It's crazy.
Well, let's step in and focus in on, you know, as horrifying as it is to have any voice that is not actually threatening violence, which is what the First Amendment doesn't protect, but otherwise the First Amendment protects speech very, very widely. As disturbing as it is to have any peaceful voices censored from a tech platform, when I read the state senator's press release, I was horrified that A, I confirmed that he did not identify your alleged misinformation. And that is really scary if you know the history of totalitarian states, you know, or have even read Kafka, you know, to be charged with a thing you can't defend yourself against is the hallmark of a show trial. But
yeah, or the McCarthy era. I mean, this is what this is. This is just McCarthyism. It's, you know.
But let me just ask.
You are anti-vaccine, and therefore you need to be silenced. You're dangerous to society. It's like the Spanish Inquisition. It's not, there's no statement given. There's nothing that you did wrong. It's just who you are. Did you join that party? And by the way, I'm not anti-vaccine. That's their characterization of me.
Exactly. And what's happening now is that more and more voices on social media like mine who are not particularly concerned in general with pharmaceuticals, you know, even if we call attention to harms that are being done, you know, I've been concerned about blood clotting that women are reporting and you know, menstrual problems and postmenopausal menstruation and, you know, instances of miscarriages and stillbirths subsequent to having the vaccines. I'm a feminist. It's my job to raise those issues. But I'm being now tarred as an anti-vaxxer. And it is that kind of Salem witch trial, kind of inquisitorial. I mean, choose any historical period you want of kind of guilty till proven innocent. Once you're tarred with that brush, it's permission to not listen to you. But let me drill into this shocking spectacle of a Democratic state senator calling the CEO of a tech company to sick that tech bro on a voice, a peaceful citizen. For all he knows, you know, you could be in New York, you could be a constituent, any fellow American. To me, taking a broad view of the whole thing, of all the troubling things, to me, that is the most troubling, because that could happen to any of us. You know, any of us could have a state senator or our congressperson, phone up their buddies in Silicon Valley and say, get rid of Naomi, get rid of the Sierra Club, get rid of, you know, the conservatives, you know, get rid of people who want to stop that pipeline, get rid of people who want to push that pipeline through because, you know, my interests are with the other side. I mean, it opens up such a cesspit of new levels of corruption and bullying and erasure of citizens' rights. What do you think about that? I mean, that is a new development. You know, isn't that scary? Well,
unfortunately, it's not that new. I mean, this really started with Adam Schiff, you know, who was who's the head of the Intelligence Committee, and that's very key. I mean, he and Mark Warner are the heads, respectively, in the Intelligence Committees in the House and in the Senate. And both of them have sent letters to the tech companies asking them to censor vaccine misinformation. Naomi, the reason that's really important is because the tech companies know that they need the Intelligence Committee on their side, because their big battle is to keep open these markets with China. And China is now coming back with its own versions of Facebook, and it's keeping Facebook out of China and has TikTok, et cetera, and which are competitive.
Right.
And they need the White House, and they need, that's the biggest market. That is where their growth is, where their pocketbooks are. They need the intelligence committees and the White House on their side in that battle with the Chinese. And so they don't mind sacrificing a voice like mine. Mark Zuckerberg doesn't care what I say about vaccines. I mean, I have almost a million followers. It's good for him that I'm on Facebook and keeping people engaged, or Instagram, keeping people engaged, etc. He's not going to do that. There's no interest. And the only reason that he's going to erase me is because he believes that he is doing something the government wants him to do, and he wants something from the government.
Right, got it.
That is really, really dangerous, because next government that comes along, you know, it's a Republican administration, and they, you know, they got in there with money from the oil industry or the coal industry or the chemical industry or Monsanto or whatever. You know, it's just as easy for them to do what you just said, which is to say, you know, Kennedy is involved with mountaintop removal mining and he's trying to clean the oil industry out of the wetlands in South Louisiana and the Mississippi Delta, and we need to shut him down on those issues. We need to make sure that his voice is not heard on the XL pipeline and all of these other issues. And it's kind of crazy that Democrats are not connecting those dots.
Well, they're really, I will have to say, drunk with power. And when people are drunk with power, they always forget that it could be, that that's not a permanent condition. It could be them on the receiving end. But it's not just those issues that could be targeted. With another administration, or even this one with the right backers and donors and pressures, there could be wiping out of, you know, LGBTQ voices, or wiping out of discussions of, you know, reproductive rights. I mean, people really have to imagine that if it happens to you, it's not going to stop with you. It's going to happen to all of us. Let me ask
you. Now, I would say this about that. And I didn't know this until today about Holyman, because it mentioned it in the article, but he's gay and he's mad. You know, it takes notice in the article that he's married to a man. And that is a community that has been subject to extreme bigotry by the majority. And you would think that people who have had that experience, which I'm sure that he's experienced terrible, terrible prejudice and damaging prejudice in his lifetime, and he has children who also might be subject to that kind of prejudice. But you would think that anybody who's in a minority position would understand the danger of empowering the majority to silence minority voices. And, you know, how hazardous, what a peril that is. Absolutely. To human rights and civil rights in every respect.
Absolutely. So two last questions. So Bill Gates, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, we talked about them before. He obviously, you know, is still involved, still benefiting from his inventions and patents in the tech space. And at the same time, he's invested in and distributing vaccines. Doesn't it create a truly unholy alliance now that this kind of, I don't even know what to call it, gesture has been completed of an elected official calling on Silicon Valley to erase someone critical of vaccines? Don't we have the danger of these kind of conflicted tech bros who might be invested in the software, in the platform? You know, Microsoft has the model for the vaccine passport, quote unquote, and the former CEO is also invested in vaccines and distributing vaccines around the world through his nonprofits. Couldn't that create a kind of really a kind of totalitarian reality in which the message about vaccines, the investment in the software to, you know, produce the vaccine passports, the ownership of the platform in which we talk about vaccines are all owned by the same people, and they all...
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's what we've been talking about from the beginning. This Gates has these incestuous relationships with Anthony Fauci that go back 20 years, where he's, you know, paying Fauci, and they have all kinds of really corrupt financial entanglements with each other. They, you know, he brought Fauci to his house in 2000 and his $189 million house in Seattle, brought him into the den, sat him down and said, I want to have a partnership with you. The way that Fauci explains it is that Fauci would develop the drugs and then pass them on to the drug companies, to Merck, Sanofi, Gilead, Johnson & Johnson. Gates would then guarantee markets in Africa through his control of WHO.
Oh, wow.
And those companies don't want to give vaccines to Africa because it's very uncertain. You know, Botswana has a government this year that says, yeah, we want them, and not next year. And Gates because he controls WHO, he controls those company, those countries, because WHO pays for their health ministries and supplies all their HIV medications, and they have to do what WHO tells them to do. So he can require those company, those countries to buy the vaccines from these companies, and he then is invested in the companies, in Merck. He owns, you know, and by the way, Gates has no pretension that he gives a crap about public health. His other investments are in tobacco companies, in processed foods, in Coca-Cola, in Cargill, in Monsanto, in Philip Morris, in Kraft, you know, cheese, and then all the oil companies, which he owns stakes in virtually all of them. So he's not a guy who cares about climate or who cares about public health. He's a guy who cares about control. And who is, you know, and was deeply, deeply involved. Not only is he now, listen, you saw him every day. He was on TV, Dr. Gates, right, as a public health expert.
Right.
Now, what was his message? You got to shut down, you got to lock down, you got to wear masks, and it will never end until you take your vaccine, which I'm making for you.
Right. That's exactly right.
And by, and he kept saying, and I'm consulting with Dr. Fauci every day. We are coordinating this, this countermeasures in response to the academic. And then you have, he's also invested. He's the biggest investor in Apple and in, you know, Facebook. So he's invested in all his competitors.
Oh my God.
Now all of these, and then what happened during the pandemic? We do the lockdown. Obliterates the American middle class. It transfers $1 trillion of wealth upwards to where? Silicon Valley.
That's right.
He makes $22 billion. The other guys are all, you know, Elon, you know, who's not really part of that cabal, but Jeff Bezos, richest guy in the world. They all have made 40, 20, he's made $22 billion since the beginning, $22 billion he's made from the lockdown.
Right.
And these are the companies that are in charge of censoring criticism of the lockdown.
I get it. It's a commercial.
Which is making them rich. So the whole kind of incestuous, corrupt, coup d'etat against American democracy, against public health, and using this, you know, biosecurity as a justification to impose these totalitarian controls on our nation is really, well,
terrifying.
You know what it is.
Yes.
I mean, we can see it happening. We read about it in Orwell. We read about it in Kafka. We read about it in Aldous Huxley, and, you know, we know what happens next. And it is a weird thing that the Democratic Party of this country I grew up in, that was the guardian of our Constitution, is now dismantling the Constitution. And you've never seen, we have never seen in American history an assault on the Constitution like this. During the Civil War, you know, there was a big battle over habeas corpus. And that was, and people thought, that's outrageous. Lincoln is trying to suspend habeas corpus. He's a tyrant. He's a, you know, now what's happened? Look at all of our amendments. The First Amendment, the censorship gone, you know, the free speech gone. Religion, the right to the religious freedom. Well, the first thing they did was get rid of the religious exemptions to vaccines, which are 100 years old. And then they closed the churches, kept the liquor stores open as essential businesses. Freedom of assembly. They locked us in our house with no due process.
Exactly.
No, you know, no regulatory process at all. They just say, stay in your house, do what you're told. Yeah. Freedom to petition, same thing. We're not allowed out to, you know, to go up to Sacramento and talk about this, or to Albany. The jury trials, the Seventh and Sixth Amendment jury trials, which is, you know, that one of the first things that Fauci did was to say, we're going to get rid of immunity. We're going to give immunity from liability to these companies.
Oh gosh.
You can't get a jury trial, which is guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution.
Extraordinary.
The 14th and 4th Amendment rights of due process of law. The regulatory process on property rights. Gone. A million businesses just told you can't operate anymore.
No, that's a very comprehensive summary.
It's the entire Constitution is being shit canned.
Yep. So, and as you and I discussed last time around, there are new alliances to end on a note of hope, or else we'll just, kill ourselves after watching this brilliant but alarming dissection of where we're at. New alliances are being formed between people disaffected with the left, who are of the left, people on the right who know that now is not the time to be divided on the usual things that divide us. And I do see new allies coming together to fight for our freedoms, even though the oligarchs are also coming together across party lines, sadly in our country, mostly Democrats, but conservatives in other countries, it's nonpartisan. And that's the new axis, I think, where the battle, it has to be waged. My last question, you've been so generous with your time. The timing of this is very notable to me. Last night, all day yesterday on Twitter, women were sharing their stories of horrible effects. And I won't go into the details of, horrible kind of menstrual effects, reproductive effects, real aberrant reactions, and women know their bodies, right, to being vaccinated. There's no, correlation is not causation. And there are no studies. There are no studies of pregnant women, no studies of lactating women with these vaccines. But women were in scores and scores and scores and hundreds telling their stories. And this got picked up by some women-oriented news outlets. And I was certainly also reporting it. Today, this announcement comes out about getting you off of Twitter. Today, Johnson & Johnson, is suspended by the FDA and the CDC. Can you speak to that timing at all? I mean, I kind of feel like, people were starting to really question this issue of, no safety for pregnant women. Women having these terrible outcomes, 77% of the adverse reactions being women. This was starting to get mainstream traction. And today they withdrew the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, or they made the announcement about it. And today you got announced as being about to be ejected from Twitter. What do you make of the timing?
Well, Johnson & Johnson vaccine had a problem because it uses an virus protein. It's really a witch's brew of proteins, and nobody really knows what it will do or what impacts it will have on autoimmunity particularly. And that's where the big problem, that everybody anticipates is with all of the other injuries they've had, we've had so many deaths immediately following vaccination, but vaccine deaths and most vaccine injuries don't leave a fingerprint. Oh, you can't tell whether that person died of a heart attack or whether it was a vaccine-caused heart attack. Nobody can tell. What you need to do is count them all. Count all the deaths and then count them up and see if they beat, if it's worse, the deaths after. We know, for example, out of every 100,000 people in the United States between 75 and 85 years old, 12 die per day. We ought to be looking at the vaccine. And if the day after they get the Moderna vaccine, if 50 people are dying, that's a safety signal. That's the only way you'll tell. But what CDC does is very dishonest. Anybody dies after vaccine, they say, we looked into it and it's not vaccine related. Well, of course they didn't look into it. They're just saying it's not vaccine related. It's just a lie. Nobody can say it's vaccine related. Nobody can say it's not because there's no fingerprint. You have to count them all. And they have a system that by their own admissions counts fewer than 1%, not 1%, fewer than 1% of vaccine injuries. Why did Johnson & Johnson suddenly come clean and say, yes, all these women are getting blood clots? Because the particular injury that they were getting, which is a form of thrombosis, a venal thrombosis, is so rare that frontline doctors were saying this can only come from the vaccine.
Wow.
And you had six people in a very short time, women in a very short time, get these very, very serious injuries. One of them died. And they couldn't, it was implausible for them to continue to not deny it. So you're getting all these people injured. You're getting all these women with that who are having now reproductive problems, who are losing their babies, who are getting, you know, having problems with their menstrual cycles, who are having breast problems. All of these problems that are related to the reproductive system are happening, but they can dismiss them all. But they could not dismiss the thrombosis, you know, because it was, it's so rare that everybody knows when you see it, it's got to be linked to the vaccine. And that's why they had to suspend it. And, you know, it's a scary time we live in because the public health agencies are not protecting public health. They are, their objective is not to save Americans' lives. It's to vaccinate as many people possible. And that is not a good system.
No, indeed. Well, on that note, if people want to help you, what should they do?
They should go to our website, join Children's Health Defense. You can join for life for $10, so it's cheap. But even if you can't, if you don't have that money, go and get the Defender so that you can educate yourself. The Defender is our daily newsletter, and it has the truth in it. We rigorously fact check everything. Anything that you find in the Defender, you can rely on. So, and we are publishing all of the information that is censored everywhere else. So please come and join us. Thank you very much for your courage and for your commitment, Naomi.
Thank you so much for yours, and thank all your colleagues. We'll get this out far and wide. And I know a lot of people will want to help you in your fight. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.